I want to start by reading a definition. And once I've read the definition, you'll actually see it on the screen here. If you know what the word is that this description is defining, I just want you to say it out nice and loud, okay? Here's the definition. A person involved in a process of influencing and developing a group of people in order to accomplish a purpose. Leadership. Very good. Awesome. That's exactly right. That's the definition of leadership. Every single one of us in this room have people who are leaders in our lives. It might be at school, it might be at work, it might be here in church or at home. We have people who are influencing and developing us in order to accomplish a specific purpose, and it's very different for each of those areas. Now, I know that every single one of you must have been thinking the sermon that I started on August 13th never was completed. How many of you remember that, right? Tommy is not telling the truth, probably. I shared the first half of that message, and I want to complete it today. And if you were here, I started it by asking if you're a leader, and I'm going to do the same thing. If you're a leader, would you please put your hand up and leave it up? If you're a leader, put your hand up. Way up high. Some of you got it halfway down. All right, everybody look around. Don't put your hands down yet. I want everybody else to put your hand up. Every single person. Every person in the room has got to put your hand up, please. Thank you. Put them down. So I ask if you're a leader, I said, please put your hand up. Every one of you put your hand up. Why would I say that everyone is a leader? Well, I want to answer that. If you have influence in another person's life, then you have the potential of leading them. As Christians, we want to be able to influence people, and we want to lead them in such a way that they might understand what? How much God loves them, and how much God cares for them, and how much He wants to have a relationship with them. And we share that so they might live life to the fullest. They could be the best family they could be. They can be the best friend, the best business, all those things. So we have this potential to do that. We want to be the best leaders that we can possibly be. And so if you want to be good like someone else, you look for examples. The great thing for us is we have a great example in Jesus. And if we lead like He led while He was on the earth, we can't go wrong. And one of the things that we talked about a month ago was that Jesus shows us an entirely different way to lead, and He did that while He's on the earth. Listen to this in Luke chapter 22, verse 26. He says, but you are not to be like that. So here's the not thing. This is not what you're supposed to be. And then He says, instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who, what does it say? Serves. Exactly right. Another translation says, the one who serves you best will be your leader. And the kind of leader you want is someone who will be serving you. The one who serves is the one that Jesus says leads. Leadership is not just demanding and commanding. It's about serving those that God puts into your life. Now, another word for being a leader is a people builder. You know, building into people. So if leadership is about serving, leaders are people builders, then what we need to do is learn how to build into the lives of the people that we have the potential to lead, those that are in our lives. So how do we do that? That's what I want to talk about today. That's what I want to finish up from what we did a month ago. So what I need somebody who knows the first three points to my sermon a month ago. I was wondering, oh, go ahead. I'd like to hear that. Blue microphone, please.
You give them an example.
Mm-hmm.
You challenge them to a greater purpose.
Yes.
And then you affirm them for their potential.
Somebody who listens to my sermons. I love that. Thank you very, very much. Was the font big enough for you to read on that at all? Or that's... All right. Well, those were the first three. I'm going to do a very quick review. You give them an example. Jesus never asked us to do something that He hadn't already done Himself to show us how to do it. Listen to John 13:15. He said this, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus said, I did it, now you go ahead and do the same thing. You remember in this case, He was giving the washing of the disciples' feet during His last meal with them. He said, I've done it, now you guys do it. So you give people who you want to build into their lives, you give them an example. Secondly, you give them a greater purpose. Why is that important? Because I believe every single one of us need people to force us to go beyond ourselves, beyond what we think we can do, or beyond our own selfishness. Because I think by nature, we are pretty selfish people. That's just part of that sin nature that rears up its ugly head. And so leaders will force us to go beyond ourselves and beyond our limits and push us to do things that we didn't think we could probably do. They force us to be what we can be. And if you think of Jesus' life and his example, he was constantly challenging people in different ways. And he did it in different ways because every one of us are different. We need to be challenged and pushed in different areas. He might challenge your priorities. Your priorities might be all about yourself and about your success and all those things. And he might come in and push on that in your life. He might challenge your faith to test it, not to test it to see if you're going to fail, but to test it like somebody who wants to purify gold. You put it in the fire to remove the dross. He'll test you in that way. I also believe he tests every single one of us. He challenges us in our small thinking. And one of the greatest examples of this is when he gave the Great Commission to the disciples. He said, I want you to go make disciples of all of Fabius and Pompey. He didn't just say that, did he? That seems almost doable. Even that is difficult. He says, I want you to go out and make disciples of all the nations. That is a big challenge. And when you try to think about it in your own ability, in your own strength, you can't do it. But he pushed them and he gave them everything they needed. So we challenge people to a greater purpose. And the third way that Jesus led, the third way that he built into people, he affirmed people for their potential. The words we speak into a person's life are extremely powerful. Most of us can remember that one word of praise that someone gives you, right? We can also remember those words that hurt and those words that destroyed. And for many of us, the whispers in our ears of our past failures and our mistakes and those things we wish no one else would ever know about shout very loudly in our ears. So a word that's spoken in truth and in honesty to speak into a person can change everything about how that person views their life and even themselves. And God wants to turn all of us into spiritual men and women that are strong for him. And he's going to do that so we can be influencers. We can be leaders for good for God. So those are the first three. And if you don't remember those, listen to the sermon a month ago, and then you can listen to it again. But let's look at the last. There's four more that I want to take a look at. If we want to be people builders, if we want to be leaders, here's the fourth one. We need to trust people with responsibility. We need to trust people with responsibility. I believe this, that people respond to responsibility. If you give somebody a challenge and you give them responsibility, it motivates them. I remember my dad would say, he would give me something to do. He'd give me a responsibility, and it was for me to make sure it got done. It made me feel really grown up. And there would be those times when I'd go, oh no, I don't know if I can do this. And my dad would say, I believe you can do that, Wendell. I believe you can do that. Those were powerful, powerful words. And the truth is, our expectations of people have incredible influence on their lives. Maybe you'd agree with this. You agree with me that people tend to live up to what is expected of them. And if you shoot the bar really low, that's exactly where they're probably going to hit it. Let's take a look at an example of Jesus. This is where Jesus is speaking to Peter, and this is in Matthew 16, verse 19. This is what he says to him. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, talk about responsibility. Wendell, take the trash out to the garbage. I can do that. Peter, you have the keys to heaven. And he's talking about people's hearts. He's saying, if you give people the good news and you share that with people, it's going to unlock their hearts. And they're going to be with me for eternity in my presence in heaven. And if you don't share that news that I'm giving to you this responsibility, the opposite is true. I'm going to be resurrected, Jesus said. I'm going back to heaven. And I'm leaving the responsibility of people's eternal relationship in your hands. No plan B. It's your responsibility. That is crazy, right? That's unbelievable. Jesus gives us incredible responsibility. Now, when he does that, does he know we're going to fail? Of course he knows that. He knows that we're human. He still knows the human, that flesh nature wants to come out. But he's God. He knows those things. But part of bringing out the best in people is realizing that they are going to fail. People are going to mess up. And as a human being, I think one of our tendencies is we want to protect people from making mistakes. And all we're doing at that point is really hurting them. When we bail people out, it prevents them from learning valuable lessons. The fact is, failure is a part of life. Every single one of us experienced in some way. Some of us have failed really big. Some of us have not maybe failed that much yet. For those of us who are parents, I think it's very, very important that we help our children to learn what it means to fail. Failure isn't fatal. Parents, if you haven't had your kids totally blow it yet, and they're going to probably, it's not fatal. I'd rather have our kids fail at home where we can pick them up and we can teach them and we can show them maybe different ways of doing it, and they can learn lessons at home that will help them be prepared for the rest of life. So trust them with responsibility. And that really says also that you love them enough to give that to them. Okay? All right, number five, give people honest feedback. Give people honest feedback. If you want to be a people builder, you want to build into people, you want to be a leader, you need to give them honest feedback. Now, that can be hard. That can be really, really challenging. But here's the reality. If you didn't know this, you're in good company this morning. Nobody's perfect. We're all together in this room, not as perfect people. And every now and then, every single one of us need correction. It's not fun. We don't like it, but it's essential. In Matthew 17, we find one of those times when Jesus spoke into and gave some honest feedback to his disciples. And this is when they were trying to perform a miracle, if you remember the story, and it didn't happen. But let me read it to you. Matthew 17, starting in verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before them. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or in the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." That had to be a pretty bummer feeling for the disciples. And then Jesus, of course, the story goes that he heals the boy, and the disciples come to him privately and say, "Jesus, what happened? What is going on? You told us to do this, and we couldn't do it." Jesus gives them some honest feedback. And he says this in verse 20, "Because you have so little faith," he spoke very truthfully to them, "because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." So what does he do? If you notice, he follows the negative, "You have little faith," and he follows it up with a positive. That's how you give honest feedback. Feedback that will be remembered and feedback that will be meaningful. He said, "The reason you couldn't do this is you did not have enough faith." But then he gives them what they do need. He said, "You just need faith the size of a mustard seed. And with that, you can do anything." Negative should always be followed by a positive. Some of you have heard it like an Oreo cookie. Start with a positive, give the correction, and end with another positive. And at least, if you're going to give correction, you give the follow-up in a positive light. It's so much more effective than just telling a person what they did wrong. And so Jesus said to disciples, "Don't do it this way. Instead, do it this way." How many of you parents, your kids have messed up, and you said, "Stop doing that," and that was the end of the issue, right? Probably not. It wasn't for us either. So what do? You say, "Don't do that, but do this. This is the way that you can do it." And that way, it allows them to see that there's something wrong, but there's a way to correct it. The Bible tells us that it's really important that we have people who speak into our lives that way. Think of Proverbs 27:17. It tells us that people learn from one another as iron sharpens iron. And when they speak those truths to us, it does it. The Bible tells us that an honest answer is a sign of a true friend. And if you have somebody who sees something that's going wrong in your life and they don't speak that to you, that's not very loving, is it? And the Bible tells us, speak the truth in love. And so many times it just needs someone to come up and say, "Hey, I see this thing and I'm concerned." How you give feedback determines whether it's good or bad. And the right way you build people up, and there's the wrong way. And if you do it the wrong way, we can really hurt folks. So let's figure out ways that we can remember to do that. So one last thing about this. Here's the key. When you correct without condemning. That's what a good leader does. And I think Jesus did it all the time. He corrected without condemning. He spoke the truth in love. And how do you do that? Probably for us, a little bit different for Jesus. But you really need to check out what your motive is in the situation. Why am I going to say this to this person? Am I doing it just to get even because they really got me and I am ticked? And so I'm going to give them a peace of mind that I can ill afford to lose. Or am I correct out of anger with my children or my employees or whoever? Now, if we're honest, every one of us, we get frustrated. It feels good just a little bit out. But that's probably not the way Jesus wants us to do it. Affirm the person, correct the behavior. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen. And I think that's what we need to be patterning our correction with. All right, two more, and we'll have this wrapped up. So the sixth thing would be to treat people as equals. If you're in a position of leadership and you have people who are trying to influence, we need to treat them as equals. Real leaders don't have to let everybody know that they're the leaders, that they're superior. How many of you had people like that in your life? They're just a lot of fun to have over you, aren't they? Constantly reminding you, not a lot of fun. Real leaders don't try to pretend like they're better than anybody else. They're humble, and they treat everybody the same. Listen to this verse in John 15. In fact, why don't you read it with me? I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That is a pretty amazing verse. In this verse, God calls us what? A friend. He's the God of all creation. He created us and made us. If there's anybody who could act and carry himself out like it would be God, but he wants to be our friend. And God says, I'm not calling you servants, I'm calling you friends. That's really amazing. And treating others as equals means that as a leader, you also share the credit. The other side of the coin is when things go wrong, you take the blame. That's a leader's role. But you share the credit, because if you're a leader and there's things being done underneath your leadership, it's not you doing it, it's a lot of other people. Leaders never blame anybody else. You accept the blame because the buck stops here if you're the leader. But you share the credit. And God can do great things with a person who doesn't want to always take the credit and always wants everybody to know that he or she is so mighty. And God will use us in amazing ways. You remember, we wake up in the morning because God gives us breath. We're in the positions that we're in if you're in a leadership role because God placed you there. So let's share that and let other people know how important they are. That's pretty, pretty awesome. So maybe you can just take a look at the role that you have and figure out ways that you might be able to do that. Treat people as equals. One last thing, if you want to be a people builder, if you want to build in people's life, you want to follow the example that Jesus gave us, and it should have been probably the first thing we looked at, is that you pray for the people that you are trying to influence. Sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? But think about it. When we pray, God responds. So we pray for the people that we have influence over. It might be your employees, it could be your friends, the folks in your growth group, the students in your classroom, the salespeople that are on your team, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, everybody. You pray for them so that God would work in them and do what he wants to do. Jesus prayed for Simon in Luke 22. I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. I would love, think about it in John 17, where Jesus prays a high priestly prayer. He prays for us as well. But wouldn't it be cool to say, I pray for you, Wendell, that your faith may not fail. And you can put your name in there. And so we need to be praying for the folks that God brings into our life, and then expect God to do what is going to be right and best. And that way we can influence and we can be leaders. How do we do it? You give them example. You challenge them to a greater purpose. You affirm their potential. You trust them with responsibility. You give them honest feedback. You treat people as equals. And then you pray for them. Those are seven things that we can do to develop ourselves as leaders. It's really a choice that we can make if we want to be a leader that's going to make a difference. And we can do those. We can do that with the people that God brings in your life, people that I may never ever meet, you can have influence with. And so we have a choice. Do I want to be a people builder Or am I going to get tied up in being things like a wealth builder or a fame builder or a reputation builder, maybe not a bodybuilder. I thought that fit in there. But what will you choose to do to build into the lives of other people as compared to your own life? You think about it, the only thing that will last for eternity is the things that you build into people's lives. People last for eternity. Everything else will eventually just burn up. So what's the challenge for us? Let's not waste another second of our lives wasting our time on things that will not last for eternity. Who are the people that God has placed around you in your life that you can make a difference with? Who are those people that you can start praying for, that you can share the greatest news in the world, news that will change their lives for eternity? All the other stuff, so fleeting, so fast, and just won't make a difference. I want you to close your eyes with me. Just imagine this. What if everybody here at PCC decided that we're going to become a Christ-like leader? Lord, as we work to do what the Lord wants us to do, everyone will go out and be a leader in the area of influence that we have. We're going to go out and we'll be people builders. And everybody that we come in contact with, we're going to set an example before them they might be able to look to. We're going to challenge them, Lord, just to do and be bigger than they are by themselves. Lord, who is it that you're going to give us that we can believe in their potential and affirm them for who they are and expect the best out of them? And then trust them with responsibility, even though we know they might fail. Who are we going to pray for? And who are we going to give feedback to help them to be the best they can be? Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be a church of people that will make a difference, that will be leaders in people's lives, influencing them so they might know you. Lord, we really need your help with that. I pray that you'd help us to serve those that are in leadership over us. I pray that we'd respect them and honor them. I pray that we'd build them up and support them and do the things that we've been asked to do. And then that we would be leaders as well. Fathers, we go from here today. Help us to enjoy the beauty of the day. Help us to enjoy the wonderful, wonderful gift of our salvation. And give us a passion and a burden for those who don't know that yet. So thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. And everyone said together, amen.